You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. All of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. Go out to our website www.whenchristianspeak.com and click on our donation page.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
All right, let's do our opening confession. Y'all ready? Father, I choose to be open and receptive today. I humble myself, bearing my heart, my joys, and my pains. I thank you for restoring my wounded soul. I believe that I will not receive more than my humanity can bear. I ask that what is hidden in my conscious and unconscious mind, those secrets hidden from myself that block my growth and intimacy with God and others, be revealed. Search me, Holy Spirit. Reveal these hidden hurts to me and show me the areas that must be addressed today. I give you permission to go to the points of inception of my hurts and hidden memories that are negatively impacting my life. I give you access to my heart and mind so that you may bypass any repression, denial, depression, disassociation, confusion, guilt, shame, condemnation, pride, unforgiveness, anger, fear, or lies that may be blocking my memories. Override any obstacles that have hindered me or are hindering me from receiving my freedom in you. I renounce and cancel the effects of receiving any accusation, lies into my mind, body, soul, and heart that is contrary to the truth of who you say that I am. I declare that I live my life loved, cherished, and adored by you. I receive in my heart every expression of your love for me. Because you love me, I am free of all guilt, shame, and condemnation. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've been teaching on anger. How many of you guys acknowledge or were surprised by how angry you were? Okay, we got, okay, all right. And the rest of y'all wasn't angry? Y'all wasn't mad? Y'all was okay? Oh, y'all knew y'all was angry. Raise your hand if you knew you was angry. Okay, there we go, okay. I got to ask the double question. But what if, I'm just talking to you for a second. What if there's one area of your life that you would make a decision that you know that God has been telling you to change and you're not willing to do it, but today you would be willing? While there is anointing, the anointing is God upon you on the inside of you doing only that which God can do. See, a lot of times we don't change because we like where we are or we think it's hard to do. Amen? I'm just so full of energy because guess what? I did something God told me to do. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit So this is me. Just say me. This is just me. You know, I felt like the later that I waited to do the message, the more, you know, because God always give me last minute stuff. So I said, well, I just wait until till a Thursday or Friday and sometimes Saturday, Shell. And you know, it's like, so all of a sudden, this week, I did something different. Because God said, I can change this stuff. I did it before, I do it again. So I said, okay. He said, well, go ahead and have your message finished by Wednesday. I said, what? Yeah, y'all know it's okay to talk to God, right? Did any of y'all talk to God? Yeah. And I said, what? He said, go ahead and do the finish by Wednesday. Man, I'm 63, but this week I felt 40. I'm talking about, you know, your eyes wide open, you're thinking good, you're seeing good, you're running your wife around the house. I mean, you know, just by making one thing that he told me to do. So what's that one thing that he's telling you to do? Well, your life can change. You can get the energy, you can get the vitality, your mindset can shift and change just by doing that. Y'all ready for that? This side can't hear you?
Yeah.
Okay. It's two over on that side. What side? How many on this side? Yeah. Okay. All right. So repeat after me.
Holy Spirit.
I repent. For not listening to you when you told me about that one thing. I had the stuff in that one thing. So what I want to do is I want to submit to you this morning. If you show me that one thing that's causing the anger, the resentment, and the bitterness, I will be obedient to you and go ahead and change it. So just close your eyes and receive. It should be 4:22. Go ahead and raise your hand once he show you what it is. I see you. Go ahead and move it. Who else? I see. So for those who thought they didn't hear, would you mind repeating after me? Say, it's a lie. Your word says. So everybody must hear, because I don't hear anybody repeating back. Okay, I see you. Okay. All right, you can open your eyes. Who wants to share briefly what he showed you, what he told you, and you willing to change it? Just lift up your hand, somebody come by and see. It should be Ignite 4:24:22 pastor update. Yes, ma'am.
When people make hurtful comments about things that I do and everything, I hold on to it.
Okay.
But I will not do it again.
Glory to God. Okay. All right, who else? All right, nobody else want to share? I see two right here. Somebody on this side? Go ahead. Yes, sir.
My eating habits.
Eating habits?
Okay. Yeah, I just consume too much.
Okay.
At the wrong time of the day.
Okay, all right.
So that's one thing.
Okay, all right. And I just want to make you aware that because of his anointing is on it, it's going to be different. It won't be self-effort. It'll be God-driven. That's a big difference, guys. Big difference. Oh, who I got? Okay.
He showed me to be more patient with things.
Okay.
Because what I do is I worry about the things that I can't control.
Okay.
Instead of worrying about the things I can. And if I'm more patient, I think that those things will fall into place.
Okay. All right. Got one right here. Anybody else over here? Yes, ma'am.
Showed me to let go of my fear.
Let go of your fear, okay? You're in the right place at the right time. This, you know, as a last part of the service, I got a prayer about fear. So you're in the right place. He know what he's doing. All right, so look. So primary emotions of anger. It's only three, guys. And I want you to get to a place where If you start to feel angry, I want you to ask yourself about one of these three, okay? Because that's going to be your locator. You're going to be able to find out how fast you find out why you're angry, okay? So the three are hurt, frustration, and fear. Hurt, that's going to be past. Frustration is little things over time. And fear, you guys know what fear is, right? Yeah. It's happened before. It's going to happen again, okay? So let me look at hurt. Hurt, to cause damage, distress, or pain. So wherever that emotion comes up and you're feeling hurt, it's in your mindset. That relationship or that incident was painful. It hurt. It caused distress. You didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't know how you were going to respond. And so as a result of that, that's hurt. But I want to show you some stuff about hurt, though. Once you're hurt, it creates weakness and vulnerability. And so everybody that you encounter, when you get hurt by somebody, the person that hurt you 12 years ago, when you get hurt by somebody that's present tense, what's going to happen is you're going to revert back to the person that hurt you when you was 15 years ago. So is that fair to the person that just hurt you? Is it fair to you? Because how much pain are you dealing with? What do you say? Old pain. So, on Thursday night I talked about, I answered a person's question about hearing me say I don't like pain. And so I made sure that they had understanding when I say I don't like pain. What happens is I don't feel like you're supposed to go through things multiple times over the same thing. So if I get hurt by it the first time, I'm going to make adjustments. I'm going to tweak some things so I don't have to feel that pain again. You won't hurt me twice. Now, it's not because I don't love you, but I know how to set boundaries. That's what I'm talking about on Thursday nights, about setting boundaries. Because, okay, you got, this is me. You got three times to hurt me. First time, I'm forgiving you based off maybe it's your cat or your dog is not doing well. The second time, maybe you're hungry. But y'all write this down. The third time, it's a pattern. The third time, it's a pattern. And so when you're doing a pattern, you have decided how you're going to treat me regardless of how I treat you. So the boundary is set. Okay? So you don't want to get to a place where your past is always allowing, your past is running your future. You hear the person that was light-skinned with curly hair, you know what I'm saying, got curly hair and all that, you know, it got stuff in it. But anyway, you light-skinned, 5'7". Anytime you deal with a light-skinned 5'7", if you're dealing with hurt, you're going to look at that person like who? That other person who hurt you. When you're not living in the real time. So your present time, where your mindset is there, your presence is there, you are there, that's the best place that you're supposed to be. But that's a decision. That's a decision you have to make, whether to be in present time or you're going to deal with these hurt, frustration, and fear. The second thing about hurt is present situations can trigger results. Anger from the past. Unresolved anger from the past. So your present situation, anytime that you are overreacting to something that has happened, is steeped in your past, is not in your present. So when you overreact to something, when I was at Circuit City for photographer there, and it was I created the photography place, you know, because I kept going to management and saying, we need to photograph things instead of drawing. And so they end up hiring a photographer outside because I did wedding photography. I didn't do product photography. And this guy did not like me being there. He did not like it. And so one day I was on the phone, and I hit his cup, and I caught his cup before it fell over. And he walked over to the table, and he threw everything that was on the table off the table. He just shattered everything. And so all of us that were assistant photographers, we looked at him. And I waited a little while that evening till he calmed down. And I said, man, what happened right there? I said, because the water didn't touch your drink didn't touch the table. But you threw everything off, including your drink. Oh man, you know, my dad, he just hated for somebody to be on the phone in the photography studio. He used to work for his dad, and they used to shoot product photography, like TVs and so forth. And so he took me back to where his dad got mad if somebody got on the phone. It had nothing to do with me. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't want that to be you. You don't want somebody else to pay the price for the anger for something that happened back then? Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. Y'all know where I'm going? Do you want your spouse to pay the price for somebody else's spouse? Okay, that was tough. I'm going to go over on this side. This side seems a little safe. It's safe over here? Or the mother-in-law? Or the father-in-law? We got some people we need to ask for forgiveness to, guys. Because they're paying the price for something they didn't do. Look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Now, God is with Moses. Moses' responsibility is to take the people out of prison and out of all the bondage that they were dealing with. But we can be special sometime when God tried to deliver us, aren't we? You know, I don't want to go. What other excuse? Just shout it out that we use when God wanted to take us into a new land, a new idea, a new belief. I like it here. It's too hard. How will I know? Where we going? It's not that bad. How long is it going to take? Oh, yeah. So how long was it supposed to take them? 40 days. Was it 11 days? 11 days? 11 days. How long did it take them? 40 years. Is that long enough? He even waited for the people that started out to die out because he knew that they was going to do what? Contaminate the land. You don't want to deal with people that jacked up about how they see something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all write this down. I tried to save it, but I can't save it no longer. Write this down when you're dealing with people, frustrated people. Stop looking to the poor. Let me say it first. Stop looking to the poor mindsets to produce rich results. Now, why do you think God gave it? Because I needed to hear. Stop looking to poor mindsets. I didn't say poor people, because you can be rich and have a poor mindset. Stop looking to poor mindsets to produce rich results. Because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you have to motivate somebody 2-3 times, that means you're going to have to motivate them for life. Now, y'all, I'm just saying, am I lying on anybody? Anybody try to motivate somebody? Well, you belong to this team, you're going to do good, you're going to such. Next week after next. Say, I'm just talking real. Is it okay to talk real? Got a question right here. So they, you know, go ahead.
I
see one back there.
Is that because they don't have the capacity to grow, or because, like, what is hindering them from, or should I just not even be concerned about that?
Well, the secret is mindset. Everything's come back to the mindset. So there's so many variables attached to that, Nicole. I mean, they could have believe I'm not good enough. I fail once, I'm going to fail again. But they have a pattern with that mindset. And unless, you know, that's why God's word tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because somewhere along the line, we had some jacked up thinking in certain areas of our life. But we keep hoping for the person. We're just hoping it's going to be a better. I'm going to give them a job because they need a job. They say they need a job. I was talking to Madeline the other day. And at her job, people call in because the company is looking for people to work. And people calling in don't have a pen or paper. She said, well, this is who you got to write down so you can talk to them or text them or email them. And I don't have a paper. I don't have a pencil. But you're looking for a job. That's a mindset, Nicole. She said, well, call back when you have them. Because you know they're not going to remember it. But stop looking to a poor mindset to produce rich results. Get somebody else. I ain't talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about interaction. See, frustration comes a lot of times, guys, because we keep dealing with the same thing again and again. But we Christians, we believe it's going to get better. But what if better is a replacement? Somebody had the hand raised back there, and I just went to jumping. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to give you an example. Like, there's several people that I know that are trying to get jobs, and, like, I'm trying to help them with their resume, and then I give them leads, and then they don't apply. So then you get frustrated because you're like, I'm taking time out of my day running a household and working full time, you know, trying to help you. And some of these jobs I want to apply to.
Okay, so okay.
That's what I'm going to start doing.
Okay, all right. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? How many of y'all keep looking to poor mindsets for rich results? Raise your hand if you're being honest. Being honest. Okay. Okay. All right. Just make a decision. And see, when you ask yourself a question, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will give you the answer. So this is what you can do starting today. Y'all ready for it? Yeah. Holy Spirit, is this a poor mindset? So when you're looking at the situation and you see what it's continued to produce or not produce, just ask Holy Spirit, is this relationship a poor mindset? And he's going to answer. It don't take 12 years. Remember I told y'all, I said he talks fast. I'm tired of people talking about how long you got to wait to hear from God. It's instant. But maybe we don't want to hear the answer. Uh-oh. I'm trying to stay in my lane.
And Pastor, it could be even simple things.
Oh, yes.
A few months ago, you had encouraged us, you know, if you have like a tiny little shampoo bottle at home and it only has a little bit left, and then you got another bottle of shampoo, and just to, you know, put them all together and get rid of all the stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's like poor mindset. You're trying to hold on to what you have because you don't think that you're going to have more. Mm-hmm. And that changed my life. I threw all the shampoo, all the lotions out. I'm ashy everywhere I go. Like, I got to get a fresh bottle. But that really changed my mindset.
Yeah. You expect more. And I'm just talking. Where's Shay at? Shay, I'm going to look at the clock on this one. Okay. All right. Y'all listen to me. If you got this habit destroyed today, where you have a little toilet tissue roll, and you know, come on, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand, y'all know. Throw it away. Throw the toilet tissue away if you know. Okay, I'm just telling you. If you think poor, you're going to live poor. Uh-oh. You're looking at a toilet tissue roll, and you're saying you don't have enough to get more? Well, what else are you looking at and don't think you got more? All right, let me keep on going here. All right, y'all understand about Moses and his people? God got tired of them complaining. I took you out of a place that you were in slavery to. You were told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Now, I'm taking you to a place where your clothes grow with you. See, they didn't say anything about them having clothes that they took with them. Their clothes grew with them. So if you started out with a child, and he wore a size, what size that brother wear? Uh-huh.
He wore a 10-12.
10-12? Well, then his shoe grew with him, the 15. His shirt grew. The dresses grew. He fed them, and they complained every single day about something. So God's anger was kindled. And I'm tired of these people. Now let's look at frustration. Frustration. Insecurity, dissatisfaction arising from unresolved problems. See, we still keep coming back to this unresolved thing. Unresolved problem. You're frustrated because you told them to do it before. Then you told them to do it again. Then you told them to do it again. And they keep doing the same thing. Could it be they enjoy making you frustrated? I'm going to do it almost passive aggressive. I'm going to do just enough that they can see that it was done, but not enough to make sure that it's finished. But then they get upset because they get laid off. Know what I'm talking about? Here's an incident. A pipe fell off one of the buildings at Boys and Brew. Making this for the first time here, but I got you covered. And so I sent the guy over. I said, man, go ahead and fix the pipe. I mean, because it was a big pipe, you know, covering 2-story building. Sent him over to fix the pipe. Now, y'all watch this. Now, this is the pipe coming down. The brother took the pipe and it put it like this. Y'all see? Now, is that pipe, that water going to go down through that pipe? That's frustration. All you had to do, we bought the stuff for you to hang, put the lighter there for you. Come on. It's situation time. I walked around the building. I just walked around the building. So sometimes you just need to walk. Y'all know that, right? Sometimes you just need to walk. Just walk. I just walked around the building. I walked around about three times. Started to feel like what Jericho. But walked the third time, maybe the pipe will fall. But frustration, guys. What are we frustrated about? And how long have we been expecting a change? So now, when frustration, what did we say hurt was? Past tense. What is frustration? Present event. It was present. It's small incidents over time to add up. Anybody ever went off on somebody? Because it's small. Faith raised her hand straight up. Faith said, I'm going to tell you I did it. Little incidents over time. Faith, tell us about one. Give her a mic. Little incidents over time. Now, I'm talking about relationships on this one, guys. Most of the time, there's a lot of frustration in relationships. It doesn't have to be marriage. It can be relationships, job relationships, work relationships, church relationships. Here it comes. Go ahead, babe.
Oh, listen. It was Thursday.
Okay.
One of my coworkers, mm-hmm. We share students.
Okay.
She's a case manager. I'm a case manager. But she has worked as an IA for like 20 years and became a teacher recently, like within my first year of working there.
Okay.
When we share students, I need to get data from her for my students because she's the reading collab teacher. I'm the BLIS, which means behavior.
Okay.
So any kid with social skills goals, I have to collect those goals.
Okay.
But there's a kid on my caseload that she's been working with for reading goals all year. We're getting ready to get into the fourth 9 weeks.
Okay.
She hasn't given me any data for first, second, or third semester. So I went to ask her about an email that she sent about a read and write program. Well, she got testy with me in the hallway.
Okay.
And I was trying to say, hey, I just need to ask a question. What kind of program are you speaking of? And so she was just like, I don't know. I'm not his case manager. I don't give his accommodation. She just got really testy mm-hmm. with me. And this is how she talks to me all the time.
Okay.
And previously, the years before, she would send me like a nasty email. And then when I get Kurt back, she would then email our vice principal gotcha. In on it.
Okay.
So it looks like that I just kind of, that was the first interaction.
Right. Okay.
So then I had to go back and show the vice principal that I was only reacting to what she didn't add you to.
Gotcha.
So this particular day, we're talking in the hallway, and so she dismisses me.
Okay. Oh.
With her hand in my face.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, and I was being real calm because uh-huh. I had another assistant there who needed the clarification. So then she was like, I need to go. And so then she goes in as she's going into her room, and I'm walking to the exit sign. So she's standing where you are going into the room. She screams at me.
Okay.
I don't know what your problem is with me. I was only trying to help you.
Okay.
I look back twice. I know you're not talking to me.
Okay.
And at that point, I let it go.
Okay. Okay. All right. So it was frustration over time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so no students was there, but I did curse her.
Okay.
And right. Immediately, my principal, I didn't know. She tried to make it seem like I had attacked her because the principal was in the room.
Okay.
But the principal heard everything.
Gotcha. Okay.
And came to my assistant,
okay.
not hers. And then after we talked, the principal learned some things that she hadn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I hadn't collected data from this lady in three semesters. We're going into our fourth semester. And she hasn't given any. So she was like, well, where's the data coming from? I said, I am a licensed teacher, general ed, K through 12. I said, so I collect my own data.
Okay.
So, but the lady's take on it is, if she has a reading goal and I'm doing a reading goal, that she shouldn't have to do the reading goal because it's asinine. And I was like, no, that just gives you a different view of the student, different data.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. So she doesn't feel like if I'm collecting data, that she should collect data, but that's your job.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm just frustrated that she's getting away with a lot of stuff and it's not being reciprocated as far as data to other people. And like I told the principal, I said, it's not equitable.
Okay.
You know, things are, there have been times where they have allowed her, I said, I can name 3 dates where y'all allow her to sit in her room and do her paperwork and allow one of our full-time subs to be her.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's not right. Okay. None of the rest of the special ed teachers are getting there.
Okay. So the only reason we do behavior is because it works. So the only reason she's doing that is because it works. So that's not just frustration, but that's also hurt because she's associating you with somebody else. I mean, you know, her answers don't lie. Remember what I said earlier. Anytime it's disproportionate, anytime your response is disproportionate to the incident, it's steeped in your past. So, I mean, she got a lot of things with somebody that was like you. So in Exodus 32:19, let's see what happened there. Now, who made the tablets? Just checking, y'all. Moses. So we're still dealing with Moses. Remember Numbers 11? We're dealing with Moses. In Exodus 32, we're dealing with Moses. And Moses goes up to talk to God. He said, you know, God said, I want to talk to you, Moses. Come on up. Let's talk about it. So now Moses got some leaders. Y'all ever hear some? No, don't answer that. Okay. Leave that alone. And so he's supposed to be with the leaders, helping them while Moses is talking to God to get the tablets, to get the Ten Commandments. And here it is. His leader decided they're going to throw a party and he's going to be involved in it. I mean, they got naked. I know I got children in here. They got naked. They did a little bit of everything. You think what's going on now is special? These folks were special. I mean, it was real. So in Exodus 32:19, as soon as he came near unto the camp, now they were partying so loud. They didn't have sound system, but they were partying so loud, Moses heard them as he was coming down the hill. And he saw the calf, you know, calf. They cutting the calf up and they having fun. You eat this part, you eat this part. We're going to worship the calf. Now, how are you going to cut something and worship it? And they were dancing. They did not have clothes on. It was party over here, party over there. And Moses, angry, waxed hot. I mean, I'm up here talking to God on your behalf. And you down there partying, destroying everything that we did. We only supposed to took 11 days. Now we're in year 20, and you still not doing the right thing. Y'all understand why pastors get upset sometimes? Yeah. Let me just keep on going. But that's what happened, guys. Frustration. I've been dealing with you all this time. You still won't get it right. I can't even trust the leader. And this one, fear. Y'all ready for fear? Emotions caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. So you know something's going to go wrong. You just sense it. You feel it. I mean, Curly and I driving to church this morning. Tractor trailer, he big. Y'all know tractor trailer big. Tractor trailer pulled right in front of us, and we had to slam on brakes. Why would he do such a thing? Because he's big enough. I'm big enough that I can do whatever I want to do, and I don't care about you, the little car. Then we almost get to the church, and somebody else pulled in front of us. And then by that time, we had already prayed on the way, but then we had to throw in another prayer. Just add the prayer. Father, we just thank you in advance that people are focused. We know the sun is shining. It's not raining. It's not cold. But we just thank you in advance that people are concentrating on what they're doing. They're driving. Because after that, man, I mean, come on, both of them were trucks. Fear. Emotions caused by anticipation, awareness of danger. Something is going to go wrong. It's already have. It had last week. It's going to happen today and so forth. So that's future tense. So fear is future tense. It's anticipation. It didn't, you know, I got all the debt last year, and then you're back in debt this year. I met the person of my dreams, and they hurt me like the other person did. But it's anticipation. And we call it fortune telling. Fortune telling is a cognitive distortion, a mindset distortion that says catastrophic thinking. Something is going to go wrong. No matter what I do, I lose the job. Y'all shout some things out that y'all know catastrophic thinking. I'm going to lose the job. What else is going to happen? I'm going to lose my house. Children get hurt. Need to buy a new car. I'm going to get fired. No insurance. Don't have the money to get what I need. So it hadn't happened yet. But we're looking at it happening. There's a lot of stuff going on with people's bodies because they are anticipating what's going to happen. How many of us misread a conversation where we're going to talk to somebody and we knew it was going to be a serious conversation? Raise your hand. And it was, you know, it didn't turn out how you thought it was. Can I get one person on this side and one person on this side? Share briefly. I got one right here. You just knew it was going to get ugly.
I had to fire somebody this week, and so okay. I went on my porch because okay. I didn't want the tension in my house.
There it is.
And it was very uneventful, and then I needed to meet them to give them their final check because this is not my first rodeo. I know how to fire people and still get my stuff back. But I had been very elaborate. I called the librarian. I told him, look, I'm coming in the building okay. where the metal detectors are because I know how this right. person... Mm-hmm. Right, so... Mm-hmm. It didn't go at all how I anticipated. Okay. It's very okay. easy, very uneventful, very okay. calm.
Awesome. Very good. Good example. Yes, yes, ma'am.
So, that's really loud. In my job, where I work for law firm, I have to, so I talk to clients mm-hmm. to see if we can take on their case.
Okay.
And if they're a certain age, I have to get approval from my supervisor first before I can take on a case. And so I tell people all the time, you know, I need to run this by my boss, and she'll get back with you, and I'll let you know if we can help you or not.
Okay.
And so I always, whenever my boss is like, no, I don't want to take this one, I start feeling anxious, like, okay. oh, God, how am I going to tell them no? They're going to say why, and then I'm going to say what? I don't know. She said no. So I was talking to this guy. His situation was extreme, but we already knew, like, he didn't qualify. And I called, and I was like, oh, God, he's in the hospital, da, da, da. And so, anyway, I just knew it was going to be bad. But he said, you know what, actually, I thank you for letting me know, because a lot wow. of these other law firms don't even call you back.
Glory. Awesome. Excellent example. So what if our mindset is different about fear? Guys, write this down. Say the opposite of what you're thinking. When thoughts come to your head, you know, it's just not going to work. It's, you know, I'm going to get fired. Just say the opposite. I didn't say think the opposite. I say the opposite. The mind has to stop to hear what your mouth has to say. Guys, the quickest way to renew your mind is to say something. You get ready to have this conversation. I'm going to have favor with this person. And don't be fooled because they might be real ugly in the beginning. But because you say you're going to have favor, favor can show up later. I'm just telling you, God is amazing. One of the things you don't want to do, you don't want to end your life, living life, and not have been excited about it. We can't get people to Christ upset. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, if people looking at your life, would they want it? Do you come to work stumping? Supervisor asks you to do something, you growl at them. People looking at you like, then you invite them to church. Hey, I'm going to this church. Man, we get the word over there, boy. I'm telling you, we full of the word. If you borrow money, pay them back with interest. Freak them out. I'm just telling you, man, people looking at us, they like, why should I want the life they got? Okay, all right. Well, man. Fear, anticipation of problems and situations. What if? I mean, just like what I said when I started out, God told me, he said, just do it by Wednesday. Look what happened. I mean, if I got more energy, more anointing, more power, just do what he tells you to do, but ask him about it. Father, I'm dealing with this situation. I'm dealing with fear. How? What? Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know. That's where I always go. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know. And the biggest thing about fear is that it's going to happen again. People can get financially free, and their mindset is, I got to go back to where I used to be. So I'm going to spend the money. I'm going to jack it up. I'm going to do something. But it was a lot easier. There was an interview they did with Mike Tyson a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things he said was, a person was interviewing him, and they said, well, you know, you are financially broke. How do you feel about that? He said, I'm the happiest I've ever been because now I know people will only talk to me or want to deal with me based off the fact that for me and not my money. But see, that's a mindset, guys. When we get what we've been believing for, are we willing to stay with it or to lose it? Because it's going to be different. Anything you grow in, it's going to be different. Growing does not mean the same thing. It means something different. You got to learn different. You got to think different. You got to walk different. You got to talk different. Y'all know what I mean by walk different, right? Y'all seen people walk like this? And I'm not talking about age. I mean, you have young people. Does that look like I'm excited about what's happening? The blessing already there, and it take 2 years to get there. It's gone by now. Somebody else got it. I'm just talking real. It's okay to talk real with y'all. I got a question in the back.
One of my fears that has come up recently, we're the only people of color in our cul-de-sac.
Okay.
We live in a double cul-de-sac. So I'm just like, constantly, okay, let me make sure I'm home before it's nighttime.
Okay. I got you. Okay.
And I'm just scared.
Okay, like, I appreciate your honesty.
And if I have to go out when it's nighttime, I'm going below the speed limit.
Okay.
So that I don't get pulled over.
Okay, all right.
And we found out the political views of those neighbors, and it's like you don't know what they really think of you.
Okay.
And, you know, you speak, smile, walk free. But, and then, like, if Corey's in the garage working, he'll have his music on. I'm like, turn your music down.
Okay.
So what do I do with that?
All right, so we're going to deal with fear. I was over the house putting up, helping her put up some blinds. Her and Corey put up some blinds, and the next door neighbor came from across the street. It's okay to be real with you guys, okay? I mean, we know prejudice exists on all ends, black to black, white to white, all the black and white, all that. So, you know, I'm up there. So this lady knocks on the door. You know, I'm up on the ladder putting the blinds up. The lady knocks on the door, and because she sees about, Tim was over there. So Jazz had hired the crew. So we over there working on the house, her and Court. And so I'm putting the blinds up, and I hear this lady talking to Jazz, and she said, well, I just wanted to come over and welcome you to the neighborhood. And she brought two types of cakes that, I mean, was just cut in half and put in some plastic bags. And she said, that's my husband over there. He's colored. And you know, I'm up on the blind, and I... Colored. Remember what blacks used to be called, colored? But she was pointing to her husband, so that was supposed to be okay, I guess. But it's real stuff. So we're going to bring freedom to that. All right, amen? And now this one I want you to turn to, Matthew chapter 26, 69 through 75. But I'm just going to give you a brief rundown of it. But read it in your time, today or... But anyway, so Peter, he denies Christ. And he's the one who boldly told Jesus, he says, I won't, all your other people are going to run away and so forth, but I won't deny you. I'll be with you to the end. And then Jesus looks at him and says, before the crow cocks, three times. Okay? So this is what happened. So I'm going to read just this quick version of this. Then he got nervous and swore. So this is the third time. So the first time somebody, you know, saw him by the fire, because see, he's trying to peep it out to see what they're going to do to Jesus. So he kind of keeps his distance. Somebody said, well, aren't you one of them? And he said, no, 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 no. But she notices, no, no, no. But then the second time it came up, he got a little bit more boisterous. But the third time, he swore. Y'all know what swearing means, right? We call it cussing. So he said, then he got nervous and swore. Because, see, he's thinking now, the three people that asked me about that, I might end up on the cross. I don't know the man. Just then, a rooster crowed. Peter remembered that Jesus had said, before the rooster crows, you would deny me three times. He went out, cried and cried and cried. So he was devastated that he did what God, what Jesus had already told him he would do. Because, you know, we think we're boastful and proud and we got it together. But when fear come at you, it can produce some different stuff. Amen? Can I share something with you very quick? Just acknowledge you're afraid, just like what Jazz just did. Acknowledge you're afraid and get healing for it. Instead of trying to, that don't bother me. I'm okay. But he said it didn't bother me. You don't get healed of that stuff. Because what you're doing, you don't get healed of what you don't acknowledge. All right, y'all ready for the prayer? Okay. So fear destroys our certainty. So Jazz is living in a neighborhood where she's been believing for her and her husband, believing to get a house. But see, the enemy says, I want to make sure you don't enjoy the house. See, what else is fear saying to you guys? That's why I took you through this whole session, because I wanted you to know where anger was and what fear is manifested. Get used to seeing COVID. Stop being, oh, it's COVID. It's COVID. You might be wearing masks from now until Jesus comes. So stop just, I mean, you do everything that's necessary. You cover yourself like you're supposed to, just like you see with the church. We haven't changed our guidelines. You follow me? But if it's done, stop being shocked by what you know is coming. This is no longer fear-based. It's fact-based. Prices are going up. Now, I don't know nothing about prices. Why she go and get that food? And then, but when I see it on CNN or I see it on, no, what's the one, Today Show, before I go to work, I see it, and they say eggs went from $3 to $6. I look at Carol, I say, is that true? She said, yeah. Stop being concerned about prices. Just have the money. You give, it's given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over what God calls men to give into your bosom. Now, if you won't give, then you got a reason to be concerned. I'm just telling you. He's telling us everything is coming. But we are ready for it. People, did y'all see the other day where this road rage? The guy ran over the woman, followed her home, ran over in the yard, and then backed up and ran over again. So road rage is out there. Not only road rage, rage rage is out there. So you check yourself before you, is this worth me saying something about? I'm just telling you how to deal with new life that our Father has already prepared us for. Y'all got it? Y'all ready to get free of freer? Stand up for this one then. I'm glad they cut the lights on back there because I didn't see what's going on in the sound booth back there. They be having church in church. All right. That's a good thing though. Come on. Y'all ready? All right. Freedom from fear. Let's read. Father, we thank you that we'll walk by faith in your word and not by sight. Destroying the fear of change and the fear of the future, fear of the unfamiliar, fear of human error and mistakes, fear of exposure, fear of performing and public speaking, fear of success and failure, fear of man and intimidation, fear of being victimized, fear of loss and poverty, fear of rejection, and the fear of freedom. We thank you for allowing the fullness of your love to heal and transform us into your image. We thank you that we do no longer believe the lies of our souls about what we can and cannot accomplish. We thank you that insecurity or feelings of inadequacy are not a part of us because we can do all things in you. Those emotions caused by woundedness, sin, and hurt and sin no longer impede our ability to receive the fullness of your love because your healing power has brought our hearts to wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen. And just stay right there for a second. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that we just gave you fear. We gave it its place that no longer has authority over us. And we thank you in advance
that we operate in a new lifestyle of fearlessness, of boldness, of abundance. And we thank you in advance that everything that's going on, you have already prepared us for. So we no longer have to be concerned about prices because you gave us provision. No longer have to be concerned about fear because you gave us protection. And we just thank you in advance that you're always there, you're always present, and you always love us. And we run quickly to you. That's a decision that we made today. We'll run quickly to you and talk to you about issues that concern us because you have the answer, because you are the answer. So while everyone is standing and those who are watching, I want to do a salvation prayer because some people are afraid about tomorrow or the next few hours, and you don't have to be, provided that you know where you're going and where you will spend eternal life. So those in the audience, as well as those who are watching, just repeat after me as well as the congregation. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm saved. I'm born again. I have eternal life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me the Son. I'm saved now. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.